Having a baby is a psychological revolution that changes our relation to almost everything and everyone. Esther Perel. Women in contemporary Western society are not permitted to grieve or mourn when they become mothers as they might with other life changes. If they do, they are seen as ill or unnatural in some fundamental way. So strong is the taboo against appearing unhappy after having a baby that women themselves frequently fail to admit their sense of loss to themselves, at least in a conscious way. Paula Nicholson. I am a fundamentally happy person. I come from a family prone to depression and other mental health issues, and I weathered some very difficult storms as an adolescent when long-brewing problems in my family erupted and ultimately rendered my parents' marriage unsalvageable. But I have always been, at my core, a content and glass-half-full person, with a mostly unwavering sense of gratitude for what is good in life. Far from bubbly and effusive, I haven't been one to shout from the rooftops how joyful I am, or to go out of my way to cheer others with jokes and uplifting sentiment. But it seems I have always exuded a kind of quiet, peaceful contentment that others readily detect, enough so that as a teenager, my demeanor earned me the nickname Molly Feelgood. In early adulthood, there were many instances in which I wandered far outside my comfort zone. For graduate school, I moved to a state in which I knew not a single soul. While others might have approached such a move with a sense of liberation and enthusiasm, my introversion and my enmeshment with my family meant that I had to work exceptionally hard to combat fear, anxiety, and loneliness beneath the big sky of Montana as a first-year graduate student. Yet that is exactly what I did. I did not sink into sadness and I did not lose my footing. Certainly, I was anxious at times, especially as I faced the very significant challenge of teaching a class of 60-some undergraduates, when, as an undergraduate myself just a couple of years before, I had barely spoken a word in class unless forced to by a professor. My shyness meant teaching did not come the least bit naturally to me. So on top of the stress of a demanding graduate school workload, the daunting responsibilities of being a psychotherapist in training, and the adjustment to an entirely new social circle and community, several days a week I had to ignore the anxious rumblings in my stomach and the loud voice in my head saying, "Don't go into that lecture hall and teach that class." Through this chapter of my life and the ones that followed, transitions and challenges abounded. Most of these were fortunate challenges. Getting married, moving away from the Montana I had come to cherish and saying goodbye to the graduate school friends I held so dear in order to pursue an internship in San Francisco. Moving again, this time cross-country, to settle into the unknown of a new life in Vermont as a professor while starting a private psychotherapy practice. All that time, my core contentment prevailed. My positive outlook remained. If silly nicknames were part of the vernacular of 30-somethings, I probably still would have been called Molly Feelgood. I paint this picture not to say, look at how marvelous I am to have navigated all these challenges so gracefully. I was far from graceful during many of those tough times, and my husband will attest that transitions are very hard on me. But if there were lapses in my usual emotional stability, my clarity and comfort with who I was and where I was going, they were just that, lapses. And then I had a baby. The moment I gave birth to my first son, I fell in love with him. I don't think the visceral memory of those first moments will ever fade. Slimy and wrinkled and smushed and purple, he was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen, smelled, or touched. My bond with him was intense and instant. The depth of joy and gratification I felt as I rocked him and nursed him, as we held each other's gaze, as I bathed and dressed him, was unlike anything I had experienced before. It was reminiscent of the way I fell in love with my husband, except it was so unguarded, so limitless, and so much more powerful than any inclinations I might have to be careful about loving someone else so much.